Welcome to Beyond the Frontline Podcast, where your hosts, U.S. Air Force veterans, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson, will help you transition from the front line to the home front. Listen every other Wednesday, as they will bring great conversations, resources, tips, and feel-good stories that will resonate and relate. Now, here's your hosts, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another incredible episode of Beyond the Front Lines. I'm Jay Johnson, and as always, it is a privilege and honor to be able to serve all of you, our listeners. And you know what? I think I'm going to just hit this up front before I tell you who I'm sitting beside. We hope, we ask, we pray that you are doing well, that you are finding value in everything that we bring you during these episodes. And we're going to ask that you share them. We may not say that enough, but if you're finding value in them, it's not just for you. You can benefit others by steering them to this podcast, letting them know that it's something you're finding useful, and maybe they will find use in it as well. And as always, I am in studio sitting directly side by side with the lady that constantly gets me into mischief and her husband has to bail us out. I'm sitting with one and only Donna Hoffmeyer.
Hello.
What is going on, my friend?
Aren't I the queen now?
Yeah.
I'm the queen.
Funny you say that, because our guest today is the one that initially coined the word. And I said, I'm going to refer to you from that point on. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting beside Her Royal Highness, Queen Donna Hoffmeyer. So
I cannot wait till my husband listens to this podcast.
Yeah.
Because I will know when he's listening, because all I'll see is his eyes roll.
Yeah. Brian's a big fellow too. I don't want to get his hurt. I don't want to be the target of his angst.
Oh, he'll just be like, you didn't. He's like, now I got to live with that. Yeah. That's all you'll get out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but that'll be reason for me and Brian to go hiking so we can get away.
He's
for
ready.
Like a weekend and go.
I told him the other day, I said, hey, Jay's ready to level up in the hiking world.
He's huge at that. I mean, I go out and I do these little local trails. I may go spend 3-4 hours, yeah. But he goes out and does 20 miles over a couple days kind of thing.
No. 20 miles a day is his average is.
Forget what I said. I don't know.
Yeah, he likes to do 15 or 20 miles when he goes, hey, he goes, it's not a big deal. As long as
I'll have food ready for him at camp. I'm not
You're going to drive to camp and cook for him?
I know I look youthful, but that's not appealing to me at this age.
Oh my God. He does it. I'm telling you, my kitchen scale, he uses it more than I do. Because
to measure weight.
He weighs. So there's a goal here when you have your hiking pack his goal is to have a 15-pound pack before you put the food in. And so he has this down to a science. And when he's getting ready for a hike, I know, because here comes the scale. He is, I'm not kidding you, the tent rope, right?
Yeah.
He was like measuring this rope and he's shaking it, not measuring, he's weighing it and he kind of shaking his head. And the next thing I know, there's like an Amazon delivery and it's a different rope. And he's measuring that and weighing that. I keep saying measuring. He's weighing that and he's, wow, it's like a point, whatever it is, 0.5 ounce difference. This one's 0.5 ounces lighter. And I'm like,
I laugh, but I recognize why that would be important. And it wouldn't be something I would ever think
about. Well, cumulatively,
it
adds up. Yeah. But I just watch in awe. And he has a spreadsheet and it has all of it down there. And for his birthday, I got him a food dehydrator because he does it. He goes, it's expensive to buy all that food. I think I can do it better. Well, here you go. Here's the dehydrator.
Yeah, take the water out of it.
He is all into it. And since he's retired from his GS job,
which
is going to lead into what we're talking about. Today.
Look at that. See?
I know. Since he retired from that, and now he just teaches college, but I say just because he teaches like one or two classes. So he has lots of time.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah, so since he's done that, now it's all in on the hiking.
Well, I'm going to learn from him, I know, but I probably won't be able to walk for 6 months after I go do a hike.
Good luck. I already told him, like, look, I love you, and we'll do day hikes, but you, me, and the Appalachian are not having a threesome. Not happening.
You're not going to go hike the Appalachians.
Yeah. I'm hoping Brady's up for it.
All right. Well, very good. You want to tee up our guest again?
Yeah.
I'm really excited. The previous episode we did with her was really,
awesome.
Really good.
Yeah. Yes. And let me tell you, if I can get engaged on this topic, then she's pretty good.
Yeah.
Because
you said this isn't your.
It is not my cup of tea. So Alicia Brown is here for part two, and she specializes in resumes, specifically federal resumes. And just saying the word resume makes me twitch because I'm not super awesome at it, but I do my best. And fortunately, I'm in a world now that I don't necessarily need one right now, but if I do, I'm going to go find Alicia and she's going to make me look awesome and all that good stuff. So let me just tell you a little bit about her. So I'm going to summarize, because if you want to hear the whole thing, it's on the first podcast, or you can read this below. But she specializes in federal resumes. She is a Navy veteran. She is a mom. She is an entrepreneur. She is a keynote speaker, a panelist, a philanthropist. I never can say that word well. She has spoken at lots of different speaking events, to include Military One Source, to Camouflage Beauty, Female Veteran Podcast. She's nationally recognized, a National Resume Writer Association, That's as awesome. An expert resume tip contributor. And she has that nonprofit. I wanted to mention that. It's Naturals in Troy, where she does this event every year that celebrates people that basically wear their hair in natural state.
I love it.
And I think that's just pretty awesome. She does a little of everything. She has a Facebook page. I'm just going to put this up front. It'll be in the summary. But she has a Facebook and Instagram at Alicia D. Brown Career Consulting, LLC. And her website is www.aliciadbrown.com. Do not confuse that with Downtown Judy Brown.
You said that on
I did. I did. But I just, it just goes. I like it.
I like sitting in the presence of people who are really, really good at what they do. She's one of them. So I'm excited.
Yes. And you guys have found that you have a lot in common with this. And I have found that I'm glad I know people like this.
Not college football, though. She established earlier. I'm on the wrong end of that.
All right. So with no further ado, we're bringing in the one and only Alicia Brown.
Hello. How are you guys? Yeah, you're on the wrong side of that, Jay.
Everybody, I'm just telling you, when it's an Alabama fan, they're going to stay on point. So she
Alicia, in our first podcast, we talked about resumes in general. And all we talked, well, not all, we talked about a lot. But we talked about resumes and how long they should be and why they should be certain lengths. And we talked about the variety of resumes. And we talked about a big one, which was hard skills and soft skills. And we focused in on those soft skills and the importance of them, because that's the soft skills that translate into you doing a lot of different things that maybe you thought you really never could do. And so if you can hone in on those soft skills, you really open up a world up to you that you really never realized existed, right? And this is what you do. So we took all that, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
And now we're going to bring it right into narrow focus in her specialty, which is federal resumes. And so that is a whole foreign world to me, something about it. My husband just retired as a GS, government service worker, so he has a little bit of understanding of that. Good. So I'm going to let you two start.
Well, Alicia, when Donna says this is a specialty, it really is, isn't it? The federal resume system has a very unique process in a way that they like individuals to capture their information to be shared. So you want to maybe start at the top level. Where would someone go if they wanted to peruse federal job opportunities? Maybe there's a couple places. And then just maybe lead us into what the initial steps will look like. And then we can get into the nuances of a federal resume.
Oh, absolutely. So of course, usajobs.gov is the home to the majority of the federal vacancy announcements. There are some agencies within the federal government that actually utilize their own website to advertise their own vacancies. One in particular would be like the FBI. You may be able to find specific vacancies for them on their website. At least I know that's how it was a couple of years ago. I actually have not been on there in quite some time now that I think about it. Hmm. So once you go on to usajobs.gov and you create your profile, you look at uploading the documents that you need and the specific to your category. And I'll just say, just for us veterans, make sure you have a clean copy of your DD-214. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about Xing out your social, upload it as is. It's a secure site now, has been for quite some time, but it's even more secure now because you have two different things you have to do to log into it. So don't get hung up on, oh, my social is going to be out there. It's going to be fine. But to make sure you have the applicable documents, and then you just start searching for what you're comfortable with or what you may be able to apply for, and then you start reading the vacancy announcements and kind of start tailoring your resume to meet that need, and you go through the application process and wait and see what happens. That's like the short part of it.
that is the short part of it. Is there a questionnaire that they're asked to do even before they get to the resume piece, or do those two things kind of happen simultaneously or one after the other?
So the questionnaire would come after you go in and you say, let's, you find the position that you want and you click on it and you hit apply. When you hit apply, you go through, you select all the documents that you want to include with your package. And then it'll take you to the, what they call the application manager. And within that particular database is where you would answer all your eligibility questions, whether or not you have been in the prior federal, if you're a current federal employee, or if you're a veteran, or if you're Schedule A, someone with a disability that can apply for the job. We look for those specific hiring paths. And if you meet it, good. If not, hope your application moves through. And then you get to the section of where it asks about the specific. How well can you do this? What is your experience and your experience level with doing a specific task? And then that's when you would say if you were an expert or if you had some training on it, but you have not yet performed it, or if you performed it, but you had close supervision with it. Doesn't matter. All I say is be truthful with it, because we will be able to tell during the interview or even just looking at your resume, you can clearly tell if someone has actually performed the duty that they say they're an expert in. It sticks out like a sore thumb. So yeah, that would be the questionnaire that they would do after the fact.
What just came to me, and I feel like Donna and I talked about this not too terribly long ago, Alicia, but isn't there something that even pre-screens electronically before a staffer gets to review a resume?
God, you read my mind.
That's because we spend a lot of time.
Seriously, I was just sitting here waiting going, yeah, we need to talk about the pre... Ugh. Crazy.
But I didn't mean to step on you.
No,
just
you
didn't wait
step
on my
on
spirit
me?
Too.
Just...
What's that called, Alicia? What are they? Is it OCR or something like that? I was thinking some kind of optical something reader that looks for certain words inside to determine if a person even meets. Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of people think that we operate exactly like the private sector, and we don't. We are similar to them, but in the private sector, it's called an applicant tracking system, where you would have that scanner that goes through and they're looking for those keywords and those action verbs, particularly to that vacancy announcement. It does not really operate like that in the federal. Yes, you go through a scanning process just to make sure you meet the minimum requirements, but an actual person has to read through your documents, because that's where the rating and ranking of your application comes from. A computer cannot do that. So let's just say, for instance, you are a veteran and you have 30% or more disabled or disability. That would give you 10 points in addition to your regular points that you would have on your rating of your package. And so that's something that a computer can't see and say, oh yeah, this DD-214 is out here, let me kick out this information. No, the actual person, the human, has to go through and say, this is that person, this is their social. We have to match up those, that PII that we all talk about securing, that has to be identified and it has to be marked and said that this is what this is, it matches this person, they're good to go. So yeah, we wish we could just send everything through a database and just say, hey, it is what it is. But I mean, at any given time, you could have 500 applications on one job. So yeah, that would make the job a lot easier. But no, a human actually has to go through and do the rating and ranking of those positions.
That's important to know. Yeah, because I actually assumed that
I did too,
that there was a little bot in there that was like the civilian world, you know, picking out the specific.
I did too.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm glad
I
you
wish.
Me too. I'm glad you pulled it out of my brain to ask. Jeez. Curiosity question. Oh, yeah. Wait, did I forget it? Dang it. I forgot
caffeine.
My question.
How much caffeine did you have today?
Not enough. I need more. See, he pulled more than I pulled my thoughts out of my brain. All right.
Well, can I tee one up real quick?
Yeah, go
while
ahead.
Here's a unique nuance that I know you're going to enlighten everybody on. In the job advertisement for a federal job, there's usually something called a KSA. Mm-hmm. Would you mind sharing what KSA stands for, why it's important? Or do you even feel it's important? How about that? I don't want to presume.
So a KSA, let's start with the definition of it. It's not skills and abilities. It's an assessment. And with that KSA, you have to be very specific. We are looking for detailed information that we cannot find in your resume. Specifically, it would be, let's say, an excerpt to how you would respond to a question or a scenario. We want to see your ability to communicate in writing. And so you may get that KSA that you have to fill out before you even get to the application part of it, or it may come after the fact. It just depends on the agency. There's no right or wrong way to do that. It's just agency specific. So if you go through that KSA and you answer the questions and you're specific enough, yeah, it could move you to the next level. Now, as far as me thinking, are they relevant? Yes. In some positions, I do believe that it is relevant to do KSA, particularly in those human resource fields, because we are people persons. We have to interact with the public. We are the face of the agency. And so we want to make sure that you can respond properly, that's in a positive light for the agency, and you won't give a bad reputation, so to speak. So I do believe that KSAs, to hone in on your communication capabilities, is important for specific types of positions. Are they easy to do? You do them a couple of times, you'll get used to it. But I haven't particularly applied for any positions while I was a federal employee, where I had to actually fill out one.
I see.
Now, I applied for a personnel security specialist position once, and I actually had to fill out a KSA. And so in my 10 years of being in, that was my first time seeing a KSA. And I was like, what is this? I'm not doing this. And so I got into it and I said, oh, okay. So they're trying to check me out before I actually come to the interview. So yes, in some instances, they are definitely needed, and some not so much.
Let me ask a question, because when I hear KSA, so I think of the specifics of the job itself. Do you ever I've seen job descriptions come out and it will say KSA and it will list out the key things that this job needs. And it's the thing that I looked at, not me specifically, but if somebody was applying for a job, that you could use those to tailor their resume. Mm-hmm. Is that part of that too? Is that a whole?
You could definitely use your KSA to tailor your resume.
Okay.
The key is, I don't know, and now I'm going to have to look to see if you can see the KSA before you actually start applying for it, because it would not do you justice. By the time you get to the KSA, your resume has already been uploaded. Uh-huh. So one way you could probably get around to that, to see the KSA, to be able to use it to tailor your resume, is to go through the feel, the motion of it, but don't submit it. And then that way you can see what the KSA is asking for, and then utilize that information to go back to your resume and spruce it up.
So I think the reason why I've seen that is because I was on the other end hiring. So like when I was a nurse manager or in different positions and I had to hire somebody, then I saw the KSAs, like this is, and I sometimes was the one that was adjusting them to what we needed, whatever the specific qualifications. And there were like desired, like I don't know if they were under KSAs though, but there was like desired and required. Is that all under it?
As a hiring official, that's how the package should come to you.
Okay, but so that's why I'm seeing, I'm like, why do I know this? It's
yes.
Because I was on the hiring side.
But an applicant should not see it how you see it. When you get, what you're looking at is the whole package. So you should have had everything right there in front of you. HR is allowed to send to you. That way you can make a proper selection for the applicant that you want to either interview, or depending on what you're using, you could probably go ahead and hire as well if it's a direct hire.
Gotcha.
I like specificity just because I don't want to take for granted that some of our listeners may not even though you defined it, Alicia, as knowledge, mm-hmm. skills, and abilities, and we keep saying KSAs. Here's something that came to mind. Maybe it's close. Maybe you can state it better. But a KSA may say must demonstrate a high proficiency in written and verbal communication. Mm-hmm. Does that sound like a KSA to you?
It does. And then it should add on to that, explain or give an example of how you can meet what we're looking for.
Perfect.
And then it would go back and reiterate what they're looking for.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking about nursing because that's where I hired. And so ours, we had a lot of requires, which was like, must be basic life support certified, must be advanced cardiac life support certified, whatever the different certifications were. Those they had to meet. So like when I was going through stuff, and actually we fell into this situation because it actually, believe it or not, when we were doing Red Cross volunteers, nursing volunteers, they had to, it's the same KSAs, they have to meet requirements for us to bring them on. And I, long story short, this American Red Cross nurse volunteered with us. And I just had this really weird feeling. I was the assistant. So my boss brought her on. And there was just something that wasn't making sense. Anyways, extremely long story short, she was not ACLS certified, but my boss said, listen, she's working under people. So we're just going to let that be. And then I kept looking into it. And she actually lied about her BLS. And I was like, and I don't know what it was. There was something going on that caught my attention. And I had to keep looking, but they had the same qualifications. So that required is required. Yeah. It is hard.
Hard to get around that.
Yeah. So just kind of keep that in mind. If like you're missing something, either A, get it, but don't think they're going to make exceptions.
Yeah.
Correct.
For that type of stuff. You'd be amazed. I've heard people like, well, maybe they'll like degrees and stuff. Well, why do you need a bachelor's degree for that? Well, is it required or recommended? Well, it's required. Well,
there's a difference.
That's their choice. So
I can't believe that would happen with a certification, especially in the nursing field.
It was like very weird. It was American Red Cross. This was not a federal hire, but volunteers, but they're same requirements. But it just came to my mind that I was making the point, like requires required. You meet requirements.
Yeah? True.
Oh, which brings me into like preference. Are you going to talk about that?
Well, no, but I was going to ask her, and then maybe she may turn back to you and say, go ahead and ask that one too. But Alicia, I was just sitting here thinking though, like I brought KSAs into it. Donna's got something, but really I don't want us to sidestep what you would share with our listeners as the most distinct or unique aspects of a federal resume versus a civilian resume. So maybe just giving you the freedom to just say, here's some of the things you must know that are different.
Okay. Well, first, it's definitely going to be the length. And I like to use myself as an example because I like to talk about the walk that I have walked. And my resume specifically right now is 8 pages long. And it's full. It's very detailed. It's top heavy with numbers. And in HR, it's a little kind of difficult to keep up with numbers because you're always constantly moving around and you deal with a lot of things. But so I would say the first distinguishment would be the page numbers, not so much as a style, but you can't come away from the fact that the second distinguishment would be how the layout is. For federal government jobs, we always highly recommend to utilize the resume builder that's found on usajobs.gov. And the reason why is because it spits out in a format that is very unique and it's noticeable and it's something that the hiring managers are comfortable with. And it's just a normal, it's something that gives that unison type feel for all the resumes. And they're not searching for information because each block spits out in the same exact place, no matter how long the resume is. It just goes in the same flow. So you want to make sure that you're utilizing the resume builder on USA Jobs, just so you can get all of your information in there. And I remember you all talking about characters, use all the characters. Well, the character limit for one work experience entry is 5,000 characters.
I remember that.
Yeah, so use all 5,000 characters. We don't like white space. That's the third distinguishment. In the private sector, they'll say, oh yeah, give me a lot of white space, leave some of that out there, make it kind of flow, make it pretty. We don't do all that. we want you to use all 5,000 characters.
In fact, that's for an injury, Alicia. I just wanted people to understand that.
Yes, that's per entry, not so you won't have just 5,000 characters in your entire resume. That's just one entry that you could have and utilize 5,000 characters for.
So let me ask this. When you said 8 pages, I was like, oh my God, that's your federal resume?
Yes.
Okay, so length in the federal world is different. I mean, when you're putting 5,000 in this setup and it's spinning out this resume, you should be giving them everything and don't stress when 7 pages come out.
Correct. It's funny, I had a federal resume, it was like 17 pages long. And a lot, it was a E9 in the military, and I already knew it was going to be long, but he did his own, and I was so taken aback. I was like, you did a great job, but we need to use relevant information. So when we started going through, and I use a red pen because it's just my military ways in me, but I went through and I just X'd out a lot of the irrelevant information. And so we went down to about 9 pages after that. And I just showed him how to do it. But he had a lot of relevant experience that I just did not want him to lose. And he came in at the level he wanted to come in.
You mean, Alicia, lose, meaning not dilute, right?
Correct.
That it's not so watered down. They miss these key aspects. Okay.
Yes. I am very big on bragging on yourself in writing, especially with veterans. I don't want you to discount anything you did in the military because it matters at some point. However, we will only use what's relevant for that position.
But even just when you say that, I laugh when you say bragging on yourself.
Yeah.
We suck at that. You say market yourself. That's, I'm telling you, in the year and a half that I've
because we don't think it's humble to do it. Right.
Well, so that, I mean, we had a podcast on that and I made the joke. There were those, like, operationally, none of us were like trying to go get those awards. Right. And when we saw people with what we used to call them, the I love me wall, and that's what we would call it. Oh, there's the I love me wall. Because that wasn't how we were built. So it's a struggle, and it's still a struggle for me to come out of the military and say what I bring to the table. I mean, it's been a work in progress. He helps me all the time because, like, just to try to concisely say what you offer. And that's how I have to keep reminding myself. It's it's what you offer and how you can help someone.
And I heard I love that, Alicia, because that's kind of what I just heard her say with this E9 is, let's get to the good stuff. Let's make sure it stands out. And you said, and I want to help them brag on themselves. So that is a different thing.
Yep,
it is. It is. And we are not taught how to do that in the military. So yeah, those would be my top three distinguishment between a federal resume and those that are used for the private sector. I think that with that type of information, people can kind of relax a little because they will always think, oh, wow, I can only use my 22 years of military experience and I got to get it down to 2 pages. That's a lot. How can I do that? But when you tell them, oh, no, it needs to be at like 5 pages. Oh, for real? Okay, I can do that too. You see the side just come out. That was like a breath of fresh air to me when you said that. And I'm like, yeah, we don't stress about the page numbers over here. We just more so looking for your relevant experience. And we want to make sure that you're eligible for the positions and that you're not just out here what I would call blindly applying for positions that you do not qualify for. That's the key of it. So when I work with people that are interested in going into the federal, they get more than just somebody that's focused on the resume. I do a little bit of everything just to make sure they're not setting themselves up for failure.
I'm going to ask, do you have a question?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I know that when people are coming out, I mean, we've got junior enlisted, senior enlisted, junior officers, senior officers. What is your clientele that you take care of? Who do you?
What's your avatar of your
Yeah, I mean, and the reason why I'm asking this question is because I don't want anybody to think, like, I retired as an officer, and I don't want people to think, well, I retired as this rank, a senior officer rank, and I should know. Well, I can tell you, I retired as a senior officer and I don't know. And so I say that because I want people to say, hey, ask for help. It's cool.
Yeah. I range anywhere from your E3 all the way up to an E9. It is my goal. Actually, it's on my calendar for this year to help an officer transition into the federal government. I have not had that happen yet, but I know it's coming because I want to be able to do a resume at the SES level, because I would not say to go for a GS-15 or anything of that. No, I need you at the SES level. You're policy making, you've had that under your belt, so that's where we need to get. So I definitely want to get more in tuned with SES type resumes, but definitely all the way up to the highest level of enlisted is E9 is what I have been fortunate enough to assist and have learned a lot from them. Even though I was enlisted myself, it's just different on this side when you're working with them, trying to help them make another lifestyle. And so I kind of get a little teary-eyed because I'm like, y'all helped us. So now I get to help y'all. So
maybe Donna and I will be able to help you with that, Alicia, because we partner.
Reads my mind again.
Yeah, we partner together inside one of the Chamber of Commerce's. Mm-hmm. We just stood up a Veterans Council, a mm-hmm. committee, if you will, and we're going to advocate on behalf of veterans and across a lot of areas. But one of the things that Donna specifically, her and her team are overseeing, she leads it, mm-hmm. is a career transition and education. And, and if she runs into, or if we run into somebody who's in that place, we want to be able to utilize you and others that we can connect them with who can help them. So maybe we can facilitate you checking that square this year. Yeah.
We're going to talk. I have some ideas. I've already had ideas about her before we even
entered. Oh, I have no doubt. Yeah. Donna's really good at seeing into the future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I invite it. Yeah. I think that's a challenge that I'm up for, because I know their resumes have to be exquisite, and not mm-hmm. saying that my resumes aren't, for anybody else, but at that level, it's just a different type of writing. Mm-hmm. You're looking for different skill sets and different levels of skills. So I want to make sure that I kind of get that under my belt as well. So yeah, let me know. That's what awesome. You got.
And so let me ask this question too. So there's a lot of people that's just do it myself. I don't want to pay the fee. There's a lot of people that say that. And I understand for lots of reasons. There's financial crunch or what's going on.
Absolutely.
But what do you see the difference when people come to somebody such as yourself mm-hmm. to get that help versus the people that are like, oh, I can just go to USA Jobs, click that, fill out the information, put in 5,000 words per question. I'm good. What do you say to that?
I say, go for it. I do. I am here to teach you how to articulate your worth on your own. It is not my job to teach you just a little bit and you keep coming back to me. That's not my goal. I'm not here to continuously be in your corner for development purposes. Now, if you get into the federal and you're like, okay, how can I get from a GS-5 to a GS-7? Okay, well, let's look at what you already hold that can help you get there. I'm that type of consultant. For those that just don't want to pay the money, I get it. I understand, but just be ready to accept what you have done for your career and your lifestyle, because you don't want to invest properly. I had to invest in mine a lot of time, a lot of research, a lot of mentoring from senior specialists just to even learn the proper ways to do this. And so whether it's time or whether it's money, you got to put in one of the two or maybe both. But yeah, I'm all for the individuals who want to go for it and do it, or they want to develop their own resume content and then I review it. I am here for that all day long. I stand behind them.
Can I just say, that's got to be one of the most refreshing things I've heard. And I hope that people listening to this turn to you for that exact reason. Now, that doesn't mean that anyone should be taken advantage of, and you wouldn't let that happen either. But it's refreshing to hear somebody say, what if someone can't do, or there's something limiting them, then go for it. Mm-hmm. And I just see value in having an expert in my corner, though. I'm going to mm-hmm. say that, too. And you are. In what we're talking about, you have vast experience with helping people craft them in the right way that hopefully lead to them getting an interview opportunity and maybe the career of their choosing. So, but very refreshing to just hear your heart lead out there and talk about wanting to help others.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that answer, but that's why I giggle. I was like, dang, that's awesome. No, yeah. I think it's great because I don't think that there's really one answer and there's no one right answer. But if you really want to invest in leveling up,
yeah,
you invest in leveling that's up, 100%. Right? I mean, that is as simple as that. I mean, when I want to go look at doing different things, the business I'm actually looking at starting or I'm working on right now has to do with coaching and in a writing world. And that's going to be the question. Do you want to learn the process? And you said that you are there to educate.
Correct.
And that is what's really the key.
Right.
This is not just let me do it for you and spit out something awesome. It's you're going to go through the growing pains because it is growing pains, right?
It is.
Learning why and understanding the why. It is. Yeah. And it's painful. I mean,
right.
It is.
And I say a lot to people, I get asked a lot, why are you a consultant or what's the difference in a consultant and a coach? I'm like, a coach is going to hold your hand through thick and thin. I'm going to hold your hand at the beginning, but then I'm going to turn loose. And then I'm going to let you go through the motions and I'm going to be here to give you options and possible outcomes. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way you're going to be able to grow. You have to and really learn the aspect of it. Your coach is there to take you through and do some of the things for you. That's not my responsibility. Now, I'll take your information and maybe give you suggestions and recommendations and explain why, but that's just not my goal to be a coach. Even though I had to go through the coaching myself to get to the consultant piece of it, but I prefer to consult and give you options and recommendations because at the end of the day, it's your career. And I don't want you looking at your information or your experience and thinking that, oh man, I'm missing this, or maybe I got too much of this. No, you got to see it as an equal plane. That way you can actually have a successful career. So that's where I come from. And I found that to be like my happy place and just try to get people where they need to be and learn how to do it on their own.
That's good. I say that all the time too. I don't want somebody dependent upon me. It's a collaboration. It's a partnership. But at the end of the day, I want them to be able to do and stand on their own two feet and to not need me. That's 100%.
Well, to work yourself out of, I always say when I train people, I'm here to work you out of myself out of a job. Like even when I was a personal trainer, I used to say, I'm giving you my knowledge. Mm-hmm. You can go off and do this and you don't need me.
I have a client that's been with me 2 years, a coaching client, and I have this discussion with him. I've had it probably for the last 6 months plus. I really feel like you're at a place now where you're pretty effective. You think appropriately, you organize thoughts, you work through problems. Are you still sure that you need me? Because he can spell it out. Here's how you still add value. And I'm like, okay, if that's true, then I'm going to continue to work with you. But I don't want it to be because I've created a codependency.
And that's the key right there. So,
yeah.
And just to clarify, you're not there to, they hand you this resume, you spit out complete magic and they go get their next super job. It's a collaboration.
Absolutely. There's one thing about the quote that you said, Jay, on that last episode, and I actually wrote it down. Hmm. You have to want to actively participate in the process.
Yeah.
I said, that is so head on. I mean, I wrote that down because I'm going to put that on my Instagram and my Facebook.
Use it. Yep, use it. Run with
it. Because you have to be actively engaged in your career, whether it's federal or if it's private sector. But you have to also want to learn how to do these things. You want to learn how to navigate the process and how to get that success. So I that quote is going to go a long way with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of clients are going to be introduced to it too, just to let you know.
Well, look, I mean, we learn from each other. We've talked about that already, of us being together in this time and space. And that's invaluable, and we can learn from it if we're open to.
If you're open.
That's exactly right. That's really key. You were going to ask something earlier on preferences. Do you feel like we covered that or are you good?
Well, I'm sure it's in there, but just for people that are new to the federal resume and the federal jobs, you just want to touch base on veteran preference, how that all goes down.
Sure. Well, the big thing people want know is the number side, right? So we have three categories for bet preference: 0%, 5%, and 10%. 10% is, of course, for those individuals who have a 30% or more disability, and you have to be able to support that with documentation from the VA. One thing that I like to express to individuals who are submitting those VA letters, we don't care about how much you're getting paid every month. So if you have access to your e-benefits, which everybody should, go on and print out the letter that just shows your disability percentage. That's what we want to see and able to give you that extra 10% for your rating. The 5%.
Can I ask the question? You can answer this after you explain it, but can you go on and explain what the 10% and 5% mean?
Yes, that means you get an additional 5 points, or you get an additional 10 points to your final rating score. Okay. So after you apply for the position, you go through this whole rating and ranking process, rating your resume, you can say that you have the 30% or more disability. We validate your documents. We add an additional 10 points to your score.
Okay.
So that's how veterans are able to, I would say, get into more positions, if you will, over someone who is coming off the street with no vet preference or no type of military affiliation, because they get those extra 10 points.
Okay. And then the 5%, I'm sorry, I kind of cut in between the 5%.
Sure. The 5% is given to individuals who have a disability rating. And there are other categories too that go under those, but more specifically, I like to talk about the disability part of it, because there are documentations that you have to provide. But those are for the 5% goes for individuals that have a rating of 10% to the 30% level. And if you provide the documentation to support that, then we'll validate it and you'll get your 5 points at the end of your rating. And then 0% is those that are rated at 0 to 10% disabled as well.
Is there one for veteran spouses? Is there a preference for that?
You for military spouse, but not for veteran spouses.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually in a hiring path, and it's military spouse preference. And pretty much if you are married to an active duty sailor, you know how we do. I say sailor because that's not but if you're married to an active duty member and we transition, or we have to transfer to different duty stations, what, every sometimes 2, 3, 4 years. And so those spouses have been given the opportunity to have a federal government job by utilizing the MSP to apply for specific positions that are set aside for them. That way they can to be gainfully employed at each duty station. And so I think that's a great program that not a lot of spouses take advantage of. And if they knew more about it, they would be like, oh my gosh, I don't have to be a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad if they don't want to.
Where do they find info on the MSP is a military spouse program.
Correct? Yes.
They find info on that?
The military spouse preference, more information can be found at opm.gov, which is the Office of Personnel Management. That is like the overall personnel pay policy writers for the federal government. And they can also find more on usajobs.gov as well. They have a specific area that talks about all of the hiring paths that the federal government has. So awesome. They go click on it and they can get information about that.
Yeah. It's important to hear that, because I mean, we are geared to veterans, but military coming out, you know, transitioning out, but spouses are just as important.
That's right.
The backbone of a lot of the military. They're the silent heroes. They're back there supporting them. And we want to make sure they have resources too. So.
Well, and we say this all the time. I feel like, Donna, you and I, during these episodes, that although our target audience is primarily veterans, it doesn't mean that it's exclusively veterans. So something you said a minute ago, Alicia, is there's this system that gives you a bump in points for preference over those that may be coming in off the street. Now, I don't want it to be lost on anyone. No. You do not have to have ever worn our nation's uniform in order to apply for one of these federal gov jobs.
Many people that have just had an entire career as a government.
Yeah, 100% true. Right. I just didn't want it to be lost.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Yep, I agree. And then there's too the hiring path of open to the public. So that is geared specifically to those individuals who may not have been prior federal, or they may not have the military experience and they still want to work in the federal government. They can apply to the open to the public positions.
And when an agency decides to post a job, tied into what you just said, Alicia, they can actually say closed, meaning it's only available to those currently serving in a federal job.
Correct. Current federal employees. That's how I kind of moved around a lot. Took advantage of that myself. Yeah, that's really important. Great hiring path as well. But you know, the one good thing that I see, you're not just restricted to one hiring path. And I'll just, again, use myself as an example. I was a veteran, or I am a veteran, and I was a current federal employee. So I had two categories that I could apply under. Of course, I would rather get in on the federal, as a veteran, but I'll take this one over here that brings me in. Either way it goes, my time is going to continue to count. But, you know, it just depends on the hiring path that I come under. I just had a preference. So I always want to be recognized for my service.
I understand.
Yeah.
It's there if you choose to use it, but it's your discretion on whether or not you're going to.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Really, really good.
That's good. I learned a lot. I really did truly learn a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't.
5,000 characters per entry. Served as the Commandant of Cadets at Auburn University. Bam, 5,000 words of what I did.
That's
crazy.
You could fill it, Jay.
Well, 5,000 characters. Yeah.
I wish it was 5,000 words.
Like, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, all the listeners, I'm like, hey, that's awesome. Alicia, drilling me in. 5,000 characters.
I am a character. Take some words out. I'm like, you are a character,
yeah.
Jay.
No, yeah, I try.
All right. Do we have anything else on this? I mean, we are definitely.
I would just say it, and I know your podcast audience is open to both veteran and non-veteran, but to my veterans, I want to stress to do your due diligence to make the federal government an option after your career, especially for those who separated and not retired. Yes. You can buy your time back, and that counts towards your retirement. Okay, I can't stress that enough. I am a living witness of that. I just did it. I can't get the money for it because I'm not minimum age, but when I reach the age, I'm gonna file and I'll have my time. I'm on to chapter 4 of my life, career-wise. So I just want to put that out there for vets to take advantage of it and become more knowledgeable about working in the federal government.
That's amazing. That's great.
That's a very good point. And just for clarity, tell me if I'm correct or not. If you're retired, once you retire, you can't buy back that time.
Oh, you could.
But you can. Yeah.
Oh, yes. But would it be beneficial for you to do it once you do your numbers? You want them to recoup what you have received in your military retirement and then start paying you federal retirement? Are the numbers going to work out for you? Or would it be more beneficial to just go in, do your second career in the federal, and you have both retirements
instead of just getting one big one, right?
Correct.
Yeah, because if you retire, am I correct? Because I seriously do not know this, but if you retire and say you do a buyback, then you don't get your retirement. It just rolls into your...
Right.
Yes.
You want, because you're buying it back. So your years of service in the military can count towards your years of service for federal retirement purposes.
Yeah. I've been in many people discussing this, but I've never been through the experience. So.
Yeah. And I've never met anyone either that actually bought back their time.
Yeah,
when they retired out of the military. Now, I did go through I know we're closing up real quick, but I did go through like a TSP class, and it was early retirement. And so he laid it out for us and say, you have to run your numbers. If it's going to be more beneficial for you to let go of your military pay and just get your federal retirement when you reach that age, then do it. But if not, just work your years and get that second retirement check. Yeah. So just do your numbers, get with an accountant and run your numbers and see if that's beneficial for your life.
And I'm going to add this part of it.
Sage advice.
If you decide to go into federal service, make sure it's something you truly, really want to do versus doing it as a safety net like Jay did and jumping in there because it's a safe move for you. And because we see that a lot. People are like, okay, I don't really know. And then they just jump into federal service because it's safe for them. And then they spend 20 years or whatever many years.
Unhappy.
And it comes through, because we always joke about the stereotypical GS worker. Do their 7 to 4 and grumpy and holder of all the knowledge and you don't get to know anything and then they go home.
Yep.
And so we don't want that. We want people that are in the federal service because they want to, they have an interest. They want to enhance it. They have ideas. They want to make it better. We don't want those stereotypical people that are there just for the dollars. If you're just working just for money, just don't.
I was so unfulfilled without going into the story. I was so unfulfilled because I just chose the easy path. And then 5 years into it is when I got clear about what I really wanted. And now I do it. And I mostly enjoy every day.
Me too. Because when I mean, I have an entrepreneurial spirit. I always have. And once I got out and I could kind of spread my wings, I mean, in a year and a half, I went from sitting home painting rocks to way too many projects right now. And I love it. And I go to bed tired every night, but smiling because I'm creating what I want. So that's me though. I mean, that's just how I'm built. People see what I do and they're like, oh, I wouldn't dare to do that. That's okay. That's totally fine. Where's your comfort zone? And if you are doing something and you love it, then fine, go for it. If it's in the federal service, then go for it. But God, please don't become that grumpy GS person that's sucking a dollar.
We're kindred spirits right here. I think the three of us absolutely got it. This is true.
That's my PSA announcement. Sorry.
I love it.
All right.
I love it.
Any last words?
No, I just thank you all so much for this platform. Thank you for the opportunity to come on and chat with you all just to get to know y'all too. And thanks for just being a great host. I appreciate it. This was awesome. This was awesome. I hope I was able to help somebody.
Absolutely.
Really good, Alicia. I'm going to go find you out there on Instagram just so you know.
Yes.
What do you got?
Look, I think just taking everybody back. There's a quote by Harvey Firestone. He said, success is the sum of all details. And resumes are a collection of details that paint a picture of who you are and the skills that you could bring to an organization, team, company. And in knowing how to craft it and frame it well is an art. I really believe that. It is an art. And Alicia has that art. Artistic ability to do that. I wouldn't say I can do it. It's hard for me, but I know that Alicia, with her experience, just in what I've heard her share, she has it as a gift. And I hope that people reach out to her and they keep their options open. Mm-hmm. So
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Thank you. Cool too.
Well, I think we are, as Jay always says, we're landing the plane. And to all our listeners, we're always very thankful for all of you. We hope we bring value to this show for you guys. We have many podcasts to come. We have many that we have out there. We encourage you to listen, to share. Please comment. Coming Home Well is our, we call it, parent podcast. You can reach out to them. That information will come to us. We are always excited to engage with our audience, and we want to share our knowledge and whatever information we acquire to pass on to them. So on behalf of Jay and me, and now Alicia as our guest host, thank you for listening to Beyond the Frontline. Have a great day.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Frontline, a podcast of Coming Home Well. Join us every other Wednesday. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Follow us on Instagram at @ComingHomeWell_BTS or on Twitter at @ComingHomeWell. Thanks again. And until all are home and all are well.